It's Thursday, August 6, 2020, and you're listening to episode 549 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 1 hour. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Wayne.
My name's Chip.
I don't think we've got any announcements or any weird hoi polloi, or I don't know what
announcements involve having any clue about time, and I don't right now.
Well, yeah, and right now the entire gaming industry is either shut down or taking some time off, so yeah, play games.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. So put that on your calendar somewhere and get your friends to put it on their calendar in the same date and time. That's easy. And have a game. So that's your announcements for
Remember
today.
Gaming before online calendars and before email?
No, I never did.
It was actually a lot better because you had to show up at a place and a time that was agreed on in advance. And it wasn't necessarily a moving target. It was like week at this time on this day at this place.
It occurred at a time when we were young enough that our schedules were still pretty flexible, you know, very seat of our pants. And so she's like, hey, do you guys want a game tonight?
Right.
And in all likelihood, five people would be free. Now, of course, that dissipates when you get into adulthood. But yeah, it was still, hey, we're every Tuesday night is gaming night. Like for now, Fear the Boot, every Wednesday night is podcast night, and every other Thursday night is Skies of Glass night. And so it gets fairly easy to remember. Now, I do still have it on my calendar because of the fact that I have this nasty habit that if we cannot get it on a schedule, or if the schedule keeps bouncing, like the Skies of Glass one, we keep moving up a week, moving back a week, skipping a week, whatever, because...
Well, we did until Eric and I started having a game on the opposite Thursday. So if we miss a Skies of Glass, Eric and I aren't available on the other Thursday. So
yeah,
now we're really on every other Thursday.
So, well, or not on every other Thursday, as the case may be. So yeah, now I kind of have to keep the online calendar, just keep all my crap straight. Yeah. It's not just gaming. It's all the other social obligations and whatever else I've got to do that is not on there. So
I use a calendar. I use an online calendar on my phone. And it sends reminders and stuff.
Yeah.
I live and die by that.
Same here.
If it does not go in my calendar, do not expect me to show up.
No, I'm the same way. Yeah. If it's not on my Google Calendar, I'm not probably going to remember it was even a thing. I mean, I might, maybe, but probably not.
Yeah.
I don't put anything on the calendar. And then I just don't remember it.
And you don't show up to things. You just bunker up at home.
Yeah.
I miss you, Wayne.
Okay, so let's roll then into the main topic for today, which is, what do you do when someone asks for a very specific game?
Yeah, not asking for a game.
Right, right. So let's explain this.
I can give examples because I have two examples that led me to suggest this topic.
Okay.
One of them is the constant asking for a Injustice of Gods Among Us game.
It is kind of rude, Lord, to keep badgering you about that. Yeah. But I am in favor of it. Sounds cool. So if you run it, I'd like to be involved. But
no pressure.
I mean, no pressure. But you know,
I hear you do a good Dr. Freeze voice.
You'd
want to play Dr. Freeze.
I have been standing in front of a mirror trying to perfect my Bring Me Ferris Boyle. So
And you've been like spending 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes growing each time in your freezer.
Yes.
Just curling in your freezer to kind of get
Exactly. Into the right. Yeah. To get into the character. Mm-hmm. I'm already properly pale.
Yeah.
I just need to shave myself bald at some point and get either, you know, red or blue eyes. And I can do that with contacts.
So that was one of the two things that inspired this topic because it got
me. I'm sorry, Lord, put you through that.
It got me thinking about, you know, how would I prepare to run a game like that for somebody who loves a setting and knows all about it and all the details? And how would I find out what is important about that setting to him?
Yeah.
The other one was,
Do you make it live up to the hype?
Yes.
I mean, jokes aside, you know, it's kind of...
It is a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
So the other one is Fear the Con Line. Mm-hmm. So Fear the Con Line was on June 19th and 20th. My wife's birthday is on June 20th. So we were having Fear the Con line and what would have been Fear the Con on her birthday. So I told her months ago, okay.
Didn't you set the date?
Yeah, it wasn't the date I wanted, though. But it was the date we had available. Because we couldn't get the original venue on the date I wanted. But anyway, it was set on her birthday. So I told her months ago, okay, tell me what you want to me to run, and I will run you a game for your birthday, whatever game you want. And she came back with,
oh, anything's fine.
No, she came back with, I want a game set in Nathan Lowell's Trader's Tale series. It's a book series we're both really big fans of.
Okay.
So I am very familiar with the setting. It wasn't out of nowhere.
Say these are all new words to my vocabulary. Yeah.
Very good series. Think Base Truckers.
Now I'm thinking that Johan game where it's like space confederates and they ride dinosaurs. And
Johan actually is a big fan of the series, too. Him and I used to talk about it a lot.
Okay.
It's more like shipping lines in space. Going from space station where you pick up cargo, take it to another space station where you sell cargo.
And I assume things happen along the way?
Things happen, but it's not.
Not really. It's a certain kind of book, man.
Specifically, there's no space combat. There's no guns. There's nothing like that. It is character-driven stories. So immediately when she said this, okay, I'll do this. And I had to sit back and think, what is important about that book series? What is it about that series that makes her want to play a game in it? And how do I make that into a game? That was a lot harder than, say, an Injustice game where there's going to be superhero fighting.
Yeah.
This one, there's not going to be fighting. How do I make it interesting? What do I bring in? And that is what inspired this topic is when someone comes to you and asks for something, they're immediately what they ask for is something where you have to stop and think, how do I do this?
I just can't run my standard game.
Well, right. Since Laura's not here to talk about Injustice, and I don't know what the space trucker thing even is. So to give some other examples, it's not someone coming to you and saying, I want to play in a Star Wars game.
Yeah.
It's someone coming to you and saying,
I want to play in Rebels, the TV show.
Well, I think even more than that, it's more someone coming to you and saying, oh, I want to play was Mara Jade or whatever her name was.
I want to play Third Order, blah, 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 Fist of the Emperor, something, something. I don't know anything about Star Wars. I'm just throwing
it out. But I want to play like this one character or this one character type from this one era doing this one thing. I read this one book or played this one video game, and so, I really want to capture that
Chad
feel.
Comes to me and says, I want to be a moisture farmer.
Yeah.
You know, I can work with that. That's at least broad and not limiting. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I want to be a moisture farmer on Tatooine right outside.
Well, it'd be like saying, I want to play Uncle Owen the early years.
No, it would be like saying, okay, you remember in the first movie, there's the big space fight, right? And about how all the rebel squadrons, you know, you have Rogue Squadron, I think it's called, and then you have, you know, the others. You remember that one squadron where they have a green stripe? Yeah, I want to play those guys. Who? And there are like 12 Star Wars fans screaming right now, it's these guys and there's 50
I
bucks.
I think it really was just called Green Squadron.
I mean, it very well might be, but it's like...
You have Red Squadron, Gold Squadron.
If you're asking that question of somebody like Dale is a huge Star Wars guy, right? Okay. And he might know the answer to that, you know, who are these green guys? But if you ask me, it's like, I could run a Star Wars game. Not a huge Star Wars fan, like it well enough, know enough about the lore. I could brush up on like the Wikipedia page, whatever. I could probably run a pretty decent Star Wars game. But you come at me like that, where it's just like, I want to play these green guys that had 13 seconds of screen time and no books or lore about them, other than, you know, some out of print book from 1983. It's like, I mean, my first thing is to say, maybe not. Let's say if I say it, yes, what do I do?
So my first piece of advice is to ask the question, what about it is important to you?
Well, they have a green stripe and green's my favorite color.
Well, okay, yeah, because I've got two big concerns here, and Wayne just hit on number one.
Yeah.
So number one is, what is it that they want out of this game? Because if they are asking something that specific, clearly there is some emotion about it. There is some X factor that has really got them caught up in wanting to do that. Now, if you ask me that about Injustice, I could speculate on why Laura wants to play it so bad. Because I know, at least for me, in my limited exposure and interest in it, I know precisely what it is that I find fascinating about Mr. Freeze. Potentially, theoretically, just for sake of argument, that I like about Mr. Freeze. I know what I like about the setting. and I know how I imagine Mr. Freeze could fit into that setting. So I could pretty well answer those questions. And I think it's going to be difficult with some people because some people, to be blunt, I don't think they're sufficiently self-aware to really explain those things. Mm-hmm. I think some people are just not introspective enough, or even if they are introspective enough, they don't communicate well enough to really convey to you, this is why I want to play this particular niche within a niche within a niche within a niche.
Yeah, well, and let's say I didn't ask Dan any of those questions for an Injustice game, and I sit down and I start running a game where you're all a bunch of teens that just got your superpowers, and you're trying to not fall in line with Superman or Batman. Mm-hmm. That might be a really interesting game.
Yeah.
But it's not what Dan wanted out of that game.
Right, yeah.
And if I don't ask the question, I don't know that.
Well, and there's a broader sort of ask here, too, of let's go back to the Green Squadron, whoever the hell these guys are, right?
Right.
You know, let's say Dan is super into that. You know, I'm running this game. He pulled in every political card he has on me for the past 40 years.
Yes.
I cannot say no. And I'm like, okay, for you, buddy, I'm going to do it. But it's a whole other group, right?
Okay, yeah, that's my concern. That's concern number two.
Does Laura, Dale, Wayne know what in the hell these guys are or care?
Or care or want
care
to play?
Is the big one.
Yeah, do they care?
We can educate on what.
Right.
Care is not
something. So if I go to somebody and say, hey, I want to play an Injustice game for Laura's sake. So Laura and I are on board.
That's funny every time.
But let's say we get Chris Hussey to play and he's never read any of the books.
I'll say, and does he even want to play a superhero game? And if he's part of our gaming group, then we'll never tell him we're gaming. But let's say it slips out to him. And he shows up for a game. Is he even going to want to play this game? And if not, well, I mean, why are my Lore's desires, I mean, more important than, say, his?
That was one of the first things I had to address when I was running the Fear the Con line game based on the Nathan Lowell books. Is, okay, I have one player that I'm running this game for that's super bought in. I don't know if anyone else has ever read any of the books.
I mean, we've never heard of them.
I have to present the game as if nobody else knows anything. And if there's any proper nouns that need to happen, I need to explain some setting stuff initially to get them on board. But I need to find things that they're going to be interested in without having that pre-knowledge.
Let me give you an example that I think this will create a pretty good working point to illustrate and see if we can solve some of these problems. And I'm going to create one that is intentionally a bit difficult to solve. So let's say I walk Wayne through my homebrew Transformers rules. And he's like, okay, I got it. I'm 100% on this. I'm going to run a game. I being Wayne. Wayne's going to run a game. And I say, well, I want to be Unicron. Okay.
Why do you want to be Unicron?
Precisely. All right. So let's start working through the issues.
Yeah. Then you have somebody at the table that's like, we can be unicorns?
Yeah. Okay. So one, why do I want to play Unicron? Two, do other people even know what Unicron is? Three, can we even agree on which iteration of Unicron we're using? Because he's presented in some pretty radically different ways, depending on the series. I won't go through all those because I know there are people who care as much as I do, but I realize that's a minority.
Because if you start, then I'm going to start, and then Chad's going to walk out the door.
Then here's the other big question. I'm playing Unicron.
That doesn't fit with any kind of party cohesion.
That literally does not fit.
Right.
He's the size of a planet. So, he can't walk in the door.
Right. So now we have this issue of, so what does anyone else do in this game that
ride around inside of Unicron?
That one fits in with Unicron. And two, if they go away from Unicron,
he's playing giant planets. What an awful game.
I know, exactly.
Dan's playing Unicron. Chad's going to play Primus.
No, because then the Unicron I want is the one that was made by the Master, and there is no Primus.
You guys are starting.
I know.
Got to pump the brakes here.
Wayne did this. Danger. Wayne threw that firebomb. Danger. He knows I'm all Gen 1.
Danger.
He knows I'm Gen 1. Who made the Transformers? If you say the Allspark, I will get a gun and shoot you.
So, the quintessence.
So here's the thing.
Thank you, Wayne. We can hug this out now.
Here's the thing. So let's take this example, right?
Right. Let's do it serious.
Just serious, right? Wayne is going to run this game.
Right.
You are all about Transformers. I mean, I liked it when I was a kid, but I don't follow it.
Sure.
Transformers are fine. I'm not invested in the lore, so I just don't know. The danger that I see, besides playing Unicron, besides the planet, let's say we get you down to something more realistic.
No, let's say I do. No, because I've got a full thought experiment here. So let's say what I pitch. I'm dead set on Unicron.
Here's the issue that I see is that Wayne's run this game and you're the subject matter expert.
Right.
It's like playing a level one character in a group where everyone's level 40. But we're not talking stats here. We're just talking knowledge of the universe. Do Transformers eat? Do they sleep?
Okay, and
I mean, there's answers to obviously to all of these questions.
Let's throw out a big piece of advice right there, which is if you are running this, you're probably just creating a GM wank. Don't do it.
Yeah.
If you are asking someone else to GM it, I think it is fair to educate them to a point. But beyond that, you have to accept that you are the subject matter expert. So shut up.
Yeah, that you cannot have that conversation. You have to pull.
I can
aside.
Sit down with Wayne and say,
this
Wayne,
this game is not G1 canon. This game is based on G1, right. But it is the game's canon.
So when Wayne comes to me and says, what is it you want out of playing Unicron? I can say, okay, here's from like tfwiki.net or something. Here's a version of Unicron I want to play. Here's the limits on his powers and abilities, which granted aren't many, but nonetheless.
He can't walk in a door.
He's very bad at using stairs.
Right.
But, you know, we can work through what it is that I want out of this. But at some point later, I cannot keep trumping Wayne every turn of, okay, you know, Dan, you need to eat a planet because you're running kind of low on energy. And I'm like, well, but Unicron can't eat that type of planet, you know, or wouldn't eat that type of planet. Or, yeah, I know you mentioned the race that's there. And in this one comic book or whatever, it says that Unicron struck an accord with this race. So he's not going to eat their planet.
Well, then you're going to starve.
Yeah, you have to defer. You cannot hang on to everything. Well, if you are so puckered up on what this game has to be that you cannot be malleable at all,
then you
write fanfic.
Well,
don't play a game.
As the person who requested, like, you're the person who wants to play this Transformers game or whatever, the game master probably shouldn't agree to this anyway, because this is like bad ideas.
Right. I've got theories on how to make it work.
Sure.
But we'll come back to those.
But the game master needs to go to this subject matter expert and say, listen, man, there are four or five other people at this table who are not as into it as you are. So the whole spotlight thing, I need your help to put the spotlight on them. I don't want you educating them. I don't want you to be like, oh, well, no, this is what your character would do. You are going to be able to make your character and your background, your history and all your connections be interesting, integrated NPCs and plot points. And you're going to be able to throw all the plot hooks out to me. Your character that you make, because you know the setting so well, is going to be a 10 out of 10 on everything the game master needs to make you the superstar. All these other guys are going to be 1 out of 10s, 2 or 3 out of 10s. So what we need you to do is help them make their characters rock stars. And not in the character creation.
Right.
In the play of the game.
I think that is a very, very fair question to put on the person requesting this. Is if I say I want to play Unicron, I think it's very fair to Wayne to kick back to me. Okay, that's cool. There are four other people in this game. What are they supposed to play?
Right.
Yeah. I think the first thing I would ask is, of course, why is it Unicron specifically that you want to play? And then I would counter with, well, there are four other people. I need these characters to be interacting. You need to be able to go into buildings. What if you're playing Unicron, but you're playing your minion, your
proxy bot?
Yeah. Right. And
your herald.
Okay. So that's one of the.
He has a surfboard.
In terms of. Okay. So let's actually work out the conversation here. So Wayne asked me, why do you want to play Unicron? And I could say, okay, I'm a huge fan of the character. I think he's very interesting as this sort of ominous force of nature that resents his own existence. He's got this constant existential struggle that comes from the fact that he resents his creator. He resents his own existence, and his destruction has put him in this very, very endlessly dark place. Because of the fact that he has to be that callous toward life to survive. And, you know, there's an interesting character exploration there.
There really is. But
Wayne, can I play a dump truck?
Well, you're on your way to a Constructicon now.
So there is a lot of really interesting concepts about that. But when you're playing the character, you're then examining all of that. It loses some of the mystery and the fear that the character generates. So what if you were playing a herald of Unicron? Right. You are Unicron, but you're playing your herald.
Well, and
someone
that's,
that you can explore things
and
with.
So, and these are the things that I think I would come back with if you said, so how does everybody else fit into this? And then how do you fit in with everybody else? I think one of the things I would suggest is they're playing either Transformers that have been recreated by Unicron as heralds. They don't have to be these characters, but it would be akin to Galvatron, Cyclonus, Scourge, so on and so forth. You know, the Transformers that were recreated by Unicron to be more powerful and to be his heralds and whatnot. Or if not that, they could also be individuals who have simply made a pact of convenience. They see what Unicron is. They don't believe he's defeatable. And so they agree, you know, he goes and ate their planet and maybe he pulled the Gaius Baltar thing and shut down the defensive network. So Unicron ate the planet, but then agreed to let that dude live. And so that dude's now part of his posse, is now part of his entourage, works for him. But in return, Unicron provides him with Energon, the life essence of a Transformer, you know, provides him with protection, provides, you know, whatever. And now the question then comes, so how does this all fit together? How do I play Unicron with these people and how do these people play with me? And I think one of the things that I could choose to do is, even if I'm not playing a herald per se, I could play an avatar of Unicron. And in some of the versions of Unicron, he has one. He has something that is smaller that either very closely mimics his personality or is an extension of his personality that he uses to go about and do things at a different scale. So there is this home base body that is the Unicron, the planet-sized monster. But most of the time, I am interacting with the party through some kind of, you know, avatar of Unicron that is the normal size of a regular Transformer. And
while
a normal
powerful is far more limited than a planet size.
Right. He's powerful, but he's powerful in the same way that Cyclonus, Scourge, and Galvatron are powerful because they did have stats above the other Transformers. They were made at a higher technology level, but he's on that scale and he can be shot and killed the same way that any of the rest of them could be.
But when Wayne faces you and the party with a challenge, what is to stop? Oh, well, this guy's big, bad, and he's kicking our butt. Well, I go back to home base and I just eat the planet.
Yeah, and that's a very fair question. I think that's
I'm over here playing dump truck bot. And that's just not a compelling story.
Well,
for me.
Dump truck bot is one of the Constructicons. So you actually are on your way to being pretty powerful. But I think one of the things, and this comes down to how much do you trust the player? Because I'll be honest, there are players I don't trust to do this at all.
If a player comes to me wanting to play Unicron, that's a pretty deep hole he's got to dig himself out of to make sense to me.
I want
to
play Unicron, but I'm totally not going to abuse that. Is right up there with
many times have we heard that?
Is right up there with the Star Trek one. If I want to play a Q, but I'm never going to use the powers.
Yeah, I want to play a dragon, but I'm never actually going to turn into a dragon.
Yeah.
So why are we playing a dragon?
Just play a guy who's schizophrenic and thinks he's a dragon.
Right.
But yeah, I think that's one of the things that would be fair to ask is, Dan, okay, come on. You have, especially if we play the Gen 1 Unicron, you're literally the most powerful thing in the galaxy. What the hell is stopping you?
Well, I'm not a power player. Okay.
yeah, exactly.
A little more than
so
that.
So I think, now once again, this depends. How much do you trust the player? If the player says they're going to lay off the gas there, do you think they'll do it? If not, abort right here. Now, this may not apply to everything. The person who wants to play Green Squadron,
they're still
in a regular Y-Wing.
There's a galaxy of difference between playing Green Squadron, who have the hell those are.
And the Death Star.
And the Death Star, yeah.
It's I'm the trigger man on the Death Star.
Well, and my thoughts on this Unicron thing would be different if we're talking a campaign versus talking a one-shot.
Sure.
Right. A one-shot, I don't care. You want to bring Unicron in and eat the planet? Let's go.
Go Gonzo.
If we're talking a campaign, I want the physical Unicron body to be trapped somewhere. Well, and part of the campaign storyline is getting it out.
That was one of the things I could say is if I'm going to play Unicron, that I'm going to go with one of two angles. That either Unicron's body is broken. The head is still in orbit of Cybertron. That's all he is the ghost in the head. Or his body's trapped in another dimension. Or some alien race that genuinely can threaten him has beat the crap out of him. And he's not destroyed, but his body ain't what it used to be. And it's going to take a lot to put it back together. And I still have some of my powers. We can still go back to home base and I can fix people up and give them energy and things like that. But I can't put that body into motion to start crushing planets. Or maybe the body doesn't exist. Once again, I just have the head. And the head has a huge amount of technology and knowledge and such, but it's just the head orbiting Cybertron.
The problem I have with all of this, for the Transformers, again, this is scales of example. I don't have this problem with Green Squadron.
Yeah, we'll come back to Green Squadron.
The problem I
have... I'm intentionally trying to create a really difficult one.
Right, right. The problem I have with Unicron, and like you said, oh, well, it's just the blown out head. And it's really just kind of a base that we're using and, you know, that sort of thing. Or Alien Threat or whatever. All these good examples that you put. I'm just sitting here, like, with my Game Master hat on thinking, but the other players, while they agree to play the game, they're not subject matter experts. So the whole plot of the game, everything is about your character.
Well, which is why
Truck Bot has no
Well, and this is
here.
Where my other possible solution to this is, now you can take the body off the table still, just so you know for a fact that me not playing the dragon or not playing the Q is actually going to stay true. But what if, you know, and this is once again just a way around the problem, that what I get out of playing Unicron is that character exploration. It's not that I want to be all powerful and eat planets. There's more to it than that. That I really am interested in the character of Unicron, interested in sort of the dispassion.
Are you interested in the characters of the other players?
But if I, and that's where I'm going, is what if the body that I am playing is some sub-creation of Unicron that maybe carries a part of his consciousness or something, but there is a plot that is not me-centric. I am working with or helping out. In fact, maybe you guys come up with it. Maybe you guys say, hey, we're going to be these independent Transformer mercenaries who are out to do this and set this injustice correct. And it just so happens that I, as Unicron, offer you some unique knowledge and opportunities, but I'm actually following your plot. I just get the chance to play. And this goes back to why did you want to play Unicron? I can get that by playing Unicron in a body that's 25 feet tall instead of 25,000 miles across.
It gets into the second phase of planning out this game. Phase one is figuring out, okay, this player is asked, he wants a game in this world, he wants to be this character. We've worked out a way that that character works mechanically and all of that. So the character now is there. The next question is, how do you make it interesting to the other players?
Especially if the other player knows they're willing, but they know nothing about Transformers.
Yeah. Right. First thing is you get a group. Let's say you either get people that are interested and bring them in, or if you're going to run this for your regular group, then you go and you say, okay, here's what we're going to be running. Explain a little bit about the setting and ask what sounds interesting. But you're going to have that conversation with everyone.
Right.
What is interesting to you about this type of
setting? Well, and I think this is something, once again, going back to the example I've been using, I have to be prepared to give up that amongst the things I can ask for, I think there's one thing I cannot ask for, which is I want the game to be about me. Okay.
In fact, I would argue that it most emphatically should not be about you, and you need to be told that up front.
Right.
Your job here is not to be the rock star. Your job here is to lift up the other players.
It's like, I really want to play Unicron, but part of my way of getting that is the other players are almost certainly going to say no if I say I want to play full power, full scale, planet size Unicron, and they're my bitches.
Right. That's what it's going to turn into.
Because that's going to be...
Or it's going to be Secret Unicron. Nobody knows the big secret until five games in, and then it doesn't matter anymore because now everyone knows.
And on top of that, I'm unstoppable and out of control and blah, blah, blah. But I think that you could create a different kind of game if put that onus back on the person, not the GM, but put it back on the person who requested. I say, I want to play Unicron. The GM says, okay, I want to know
crazy.
Why? No, you know, I want to know why you want to play Unicron. I want to know what you have in mind. Great. Now you have to sell it to the other players.
Yeah.
And I
don't want you to sell Transformers to the other players. That's the game master's job. I want you to sell Unicron.
That I'm playing Unicron. Yep. And this is where I think I would be prepared to make a lot of concessions, because what I'm getting out of this is character exploration, not power wank. That what I would get out of this is I would be very willing to say to you guys, what is it you want to play within Transformers, and find some way to attach myself meaningfully and organically to that party, as opposed to asking you to follow around and ooh and ah at my glory. Is to say, look, I'm getting what I want, but this is like sex. This is not going to last if you're not also getting what you want.
Right.
And
oh, it's fine.
Yeah. If I get to play Unicron, then roll over and go to sleep, this is probably not going to happen a second time.
Right.
And so, you know, make that person's problem. Let's go back to the Green Squadron thing.
Light years of difference.
Yes.
This is a totally different
thing. Now the issue...
Realistic.
The issue is now, I'm playing...
Well, the pitch is easy. You guys like Star Wars? Yeah. You guys want to play Rebels? Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, Rebels are cool. What do you guys say about fighter pilots? Oh, man, that is awesome.
Can I be a Jedi?
No. So,
because all I care about in Star Wars is Jedis.
That's some tough shit for you. So Dan has this idea about playing a guy in this thing called a Green Squadron. Dan, what is the Green Squadron? Well, it's this and this and this.
Oh, Luke was in the Red Squadron, and he was a Jedi.
Yeah, well, except Luke's a bitch, so we're not playing Red Squadron. So... And then, you know, it bounces back to me. I'm like, what do you guys say about playing members of this Green Squadron? There's not a whole lot of lore and canon on them, so we could write whatever we want.
That's what I was going to say. That might be the sales pitch, is be like, you know what? In the entirety of Star Wars canon, and by the way, we're making this example up, so if there really is a Green Squadron.
Oh, there absolutely is.
I'm sure there is, but
terabytes of data on it.
Understand that we are just spitballing here.
Understand that.
I don't care. I can go round for round with you on Unicron. Green Squadron is purely, we don't even know. But let's say, okay, let's say there is a Green Squadron mentioned somewhere. I could say, you know, I kind of thought they were cool because they have this and this going for them. They're at this battle, which was kind of interesting, and they tend to prefer using some kind of off-the-beaten-path fighter picks. You know, they prefer Z-95s to X-Wings. They prefer modded cloak shapes to the Y-Wings or whatever the heck. I don't care. Make your stuff up. But, you know, there's something about them I think is neat. But it's this list of half a dozen items. But I think one of the things that certainly would be allowed for or open here is, because it's so off the beaten path, I think one of the easiest ways to draw on the other players is to say, you know what, there's these half dozen factoids that have been established on them, and so we're going to conform to that. But the rest of it, it's ours to develop. So we don't know who else is in there.
So here's my pitch on it, right? It's like, say I'm running this game. I'm like, guys, they have 13 seconds of screen time in the first movie. They have 5 seconds of screen time in the third movie. And this one guy has two lines. The game is, those things happen. We are going to play that less than 30 seconds out. And so-and-so is playing this guy, and he has to say those two lines. The game is what connects all of those. And that is going to be our story.
Yeah.
We are going to make that happen together, and it is going to go off the beaten path. But those two moments, we're going to do those. We're going to play those out. We're going to play how we get there, what leads up to that, what happens in between. But the thing I want to make important here is the end game, the coolness of this game is not those 30 seconds. Those are just going to be anchor points in our plot. The cool stuff is the story we make together and the characters we make and what is really going on. Ian?
Yeah, I'd see. And that's a pretty good pitch. And I think it's an easier pitch because of the fact that it lacks the all-star character.
Yeah.
I think a similar pitch from Star Wars was, we want to play Red Squadron and I want to play Luke. And now
more of a mob squadron, and you play Duke.
Yeah, exactly. But see, that kind of recreates the Unicron problem.
Yes,
absolutely. Of it. Now it's like, well, what do we matter?
Right.
You know, we're a rounding error to you. We have what? I mean, one obese guy who gets killed in the trench run, or was that Gold Squadron?
Well, I mean, and that also goes back to the original question of what is interesting about this thing you're asking for.
Yeah.
If what's interesting about it is specific characters, I don't think it's a good idea for a campaign.
Well, right. It could be. It could be. But I think it has to be, are the characters in parity?
Well,
there's a difference between me saying, I want to play Transformers and I want to play Unicron. Versus, I want to play Transformers, and I want to play Onslaught.
Yeah. Well, or you could come to, I want to play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Well, there's four of us.
Well, here's the sort of rules I would lay down, too. It's like, no, I completely get what you're saying, Wayne. And part of my pitch would be, okay, there are these Wikipedia entries for each one of these guys, and they're miles long, right? You don't have to play those guys. We are making our own story. Dan is playing Corporal so-and-so in this ship. He's playing one of the guys. That's going to be his character because he's really on board with that. You guys can pick one of these, not pre-made characters, but one of these defined characters, or you make up a new guy for Green Squadron. You can make up your own dude because we're only talking about 30 seconds in the movie here. There's not a lot of character development going on.
Yeah.
So it's cool that we make up our own characters, right? If you want to play a Jedi, well, I was about to say you could, but wasn't like Luke and Vader and Yoda like the only ones or something, but
there's more Waffle than House on how many Force users there were. Yeah,
there are hidden Force users out there that aren't actively Jedi.
Other points they say there weren't. So right. you pick your canon.
Yeah, and that would actually be defined and balanced within whatever rule system we use. So
sure.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think you recreate the problem if someone wants to play Luke. You can also uncreate the problem if your character is specific, but is not in any particular way an outstanding or unique character. Mm-hmm. You gave the example of, well, in the Green Squadron thing, mm-hmm. that I'm really big into the canon, and there's a Corporal so-and-so, we're mm-hmm. once again, we're also making this up. And it's like, okay, I'm going to play this guy from the book, but he's really nothing particularly remarkable when compared to...
He's not Vader's secret rebel agent force user bounty hunter guy.
If you guys
is
played,
literally Corporal
if Schmuck. You guys wanted to play a Battletech game and said you really want to play Wolf's Dragoons, especially where it'd be easiest during one of the reconstruction phases, because they got their ass kicked a few times, not enough times, but a few times, and you know, you'd be one of the reconstruction phases where there's all these new people coming on board, and maybe I say, you know what, I want to play this one named person from the More Tales of the Black Widow source book or something like that. But I'm not playing the Black Widow.
Right.
And I'm not playing Jaime Wolf. And I'm not, I'm not playing Joshua Wolf, who the bounty hunter kills him, which is hilarious. But, you know, I'm not playing any one of these people. I'm playing something. By the way, he's such a badass. Bounty hunter, not only Black Widow, who's like kind of the total Mary Sue of the Battletech universe. Bounty hunter not only kills her boyfriend, but then beats her, takes her mech, repaints it, and uses it to annoy her for the rest of her life. It's great. This is not a misogyny thing. This is I hate Mary Sue things. But, you know, I'm not playing one of these characters who's got all these wild stats. I am just playing this person who happens to be named, happens to have a little bit of canon, but they don't have historic level mech warrior stats. They don't have, you know, all this weird stuff going on. This is just the character I'm playing. It doesn't matter. Same thing with the Green Squadron thing. It just doesn't matter. Now,
as a game master, I would still have the side conversation with the player, right? Who wants to play a specific guy. It would not be of the same intensity and heavy handedness as with someone playing Unicron or a piece of Unicron or something like that. Because like you said, we're not playing the Fist of the Hidden Emperor or whatever. I would just say, listen, you know a lot about the lore and way more than these guys. Again, you can make a 10 out of 10 character here. I would not say that you need to take the back seat. The game's not about you. I would say, just think about it. Try not to overshadow these guys.
Yeah.
Try to help them out a bit with the lore.
And
help
put
them
in there.
Help them make their character.
Yeah, sit down and you make their characters as cool or even cooler than yours.
Yeah, exactly.
You explain to me, if you cannot explain to me how each character here is either equal to you or even better than you, then we're not playing this game. Like, let's go back to Laura's obsession with this Injustice game, where she keeps insisting I play Mr. Freeze. Mm-hmm. It's not...
Even though you know so little about
him. I do. I really don't. Yeah. I don't know much of anything. But, you know, it's a fairly easy game pitch to get people into of, hey, can you get on board with a good guy gone bad sort of scenario that somebody gets to the ends justify the means and goes way too far with it? Well, I think most people could. I mean, maybe they can't. Most people could. Do you dislike fascism? If the and I'm yeah, I'm talking people machine gun each other down in the streets for thought crimes and da 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 da. Well, okay, that's basically what the story's about. Mm-hmm. It's a resistance against this really obscene organization that Superman's at the top of. Okay, pretty easy sell.
Right.
Now it's like, okay, I'm playing Mr. Freeze, but Mr. Freeze, he's not anything close to the most powerful villain in this universe. No. I'm not asking to play Darkseid.
I guess it depends on who's writing them, but that could be said of any comic
sure,
book character.
Sure, sure. But well, if
another conversation I would have with, I wouldn't have it with you because I don't think I need to have it with you, but I might have with certain players is, okay, you know all of this about that setting. Mr. Freeze doesn't know who's under Batman's mask.
No.
Mr. Freeze doesn't know who Superman was. You have that knowledge. You're going to need to remember during this game that just because you have that knowledge of all of this setting stuff, when I drop something that you know or you remember from that setting, does that character know that?
Yeah.
Because that's one of the other things that some people that ask for a specific setting or character, they know all about the setting and they start geeking out over little things you sprinkled in for them.
I'm going to use kind of a weird metaphor, but it's like you're playing a game that has like interrupt powers on cards and this person sitting there with five of them waiting to go. You know, as a metaphor here. And it's like, okay, this. Oh, but wait a minute. Unicron's immune to that. Mm-hmm. Or wait a minute. Unicron never went there. You know, and I could do the exact same thing with any character you threw at me. And you have to get off that. You have to accept that you're getting what you want to some degree. This, you know, this is not to any degree you like, but this is to some degree. You know, unless you come to me with a doctor's note that says you've got 6 months to live, I'm not giving you a wank game.
So this is more a case of, I'm looking for a good example from the Star Wars one or something, but let's say there is a event that happens in the course of the movie, the book series, the whatever. Let's say the first Death Star being blown up. I want to sprinkle that in for the player. I want like little events here or there that happened in it. I want to give that to the player because I know they're excited about the setting, but I want that to be a gift to the player, not to the character. Mm-hmm. The character, they're experiencing all this for the first time. They don't know any of this, but the player, I'm going to name drop some things here and there, some NPCs, and it's not the tour de force that we always talk about where you're going around and, oh, here's Darth Vader, here's Tarkin.
Yeah, but I want to be able museum.
Right, but I want to be able to drop those names as a gift to the player.
Yeah.
Because they want this setting. There's a fight in Arkham, and you heard that this character didn't make it out alive. I'm going to drop that in for you.
Oh, sure. What if you throw in that it turns out that a major financier of the resistance is Ferris Boyle. And if I bring him down, then I have just hurt my own cause. Whereas if I let him go, in another way, hurt more different of my own cause.
How do you feel if characters do that? Like, let's say I make this character for Green Squadron and I put in my background, I fucking hate Luke Skywalker. I hate him. Because he's a pretty boy with no training. Oh, I shot Womp Rats. Like, no, I'm piloting a military machine here that costs $10 million. And you're talking about shooting moles? No, you're a dick. Everybody listens to you. There's no reason for it. You're a Jedi. Oh, yeah, Mr. Wizard. No, that's some bull that doesn't even exist. Who do you think you are? But we have to cover his ass.
I would love that. Oh, yeah, I would love that.
Yep.
Yeah, what if you had to play the poor bastard who was sitting behind him? Where was the freaking turn off the targeter and feel your way through it there?
Right, yeah.
And maybe you were best friends with a guy in the back of his land speeder who's where were your force powers? Didn't you see that coming?
Yeah.
You know, or is it just work for you? Like,
or it's like open comms. And it's like, Luke, who are you talking to? Who the hell's Uncle Ben? Dude, you're on a mission. Stop. You've gone crazy.
Can we get this guy on some Haldol?
Yeah. Well, it's like
General Solo. This guy was a smuggler. He just showed up with a ship. How did he become a general?
Not even a good ship.
And it's like, he blows up the Death Star. He's a hero. But my character is like, this dude was talking to ghosts. I got to get this guy sectioned. But he's the hero. But he's crazy. And no one's listening to me. And now I'm the crazy guy.
Well, and this is where, you know, I think it's easier.
God, I hate Luke Skywalker.
I think it's easier to do in something like Injustice because the characters come off the shelf with a similar significance. Whether you're, so let's say we just agree we're playing part of the Resistance, right? Or at least we're anti-Superman, okay? Right. We've at least agreed on that much. Whoever we choose to play, you have the option of this whole list of superheroes and supervillains. You know, if you choose to play someone who's wildly underpowerful and irrelevant, that wasn't for lack of other options. It's not because I'm playing Unicron. I'm playing Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze is far from the most powerful supervillain that exists, even within Batman's enemies. You know, so it's like, no, this is something else. If Chad played Lobo, Lobo is substantially more powerful than I am.
Literally invulnerable.
Yeah. The most I can do is stop him long enough to rehide.
Yeah. And hope. And he can smell you, by the way.
Yeah.
And hope when he reforms, he forgets or something distracts him.
Well, or I guess I could maybe argue that Freeze being in the internalized suit maybe doesn't have a scent or much of one.
Yeah.
And really hope that works. Mm-hmm. But it's the point being that if you choose to come in here and play someone who is just a rounding error, it's not for lack of other options. I think this would go back to being a Transformers game. And I'm not asking to play Unicron. I'm asking to play a relatively run-of-the-mill Transformer, you know, Hound or something like that. If you choose to play one of the Wiki Boys, that's on you.
Oh, I was going to go with a cassette tape.
Dude, those guys
are pretty awesome.
Yeah, they actually have some pretty high-end powers. They're easy to knock down, but their offensive capabilities are shocking.
See, now guys, I want to run...
Guys, got to pump the brakes here.
I want to run a one-shot where everyone's a cassette.
Gotta pump those brakes.
No one gets to play Soundwave. Everyone's a cassette.
I'm on board. Can we straighten out the colors of Rumble and Frenzy? Because I kept screwing those up.
Of course.
Yeah. Because it's actually, I think, Rumble who's... well, they had them backwards. The red one is supposed
going
to be
down
blue
a, going down. I know.
All right.
And Chad, you get to play a Decepticon that is not a tape, who is sick and tired of the tapes getting all the attention.
The only Decepticon I would want to play...
Well, if you keep talking about a dump truck...
is Shockwave.
Okay. Shockwave got along with the tapes.
Shockwave was my favorite Transformer.
Shockwave got along really well with the tapes.
Because he's the only one who was, like, science fiction-y.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Shockwave got along really well with the tapes, and he also got along really well with Soundwave. Mm-hmm. So that would work pretty well. Or if you wanted to play someone who's sick and tired of the tapes, you want with your dump truck... I think that was Longhaul, who's one of the Constructicons, and the Constructicons were irritated to no end by Soundwave and the tapes. So you could play either direction. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but the point is, once again, it's, yeah, Shockwave's powerful.
Oh, yeah.
But the cassette tapes in their own right are, once again, they're vulnerable, but they're...
But none of the cassette tapes can pick up Shockwave when he transforms into a... No, because the guns, like, they... There's sometimes.
It depends on your take on it.
It was a really poorly animated cartoon.
Yeah, do they change size or not? I went in the homebrew I did, I went with they don't.
Yeah.
So Shockwave transforms into a cannon, he's a cannon.
But Megatron transforms into a gun that only a Transformer can pick up.
And it has to be a large one, because he doesn't change size.
Right.
So Megatron, if he transforms into a gun...
Devastator
has to pick him up, not Starscream.
Yeah.
Starscream can't carry him because he's the size of Starscream. Yeah, or one of the humans, exactly. And same thing, if Shockwave or Soundwave transforms down, he is a Walkman the size of an RV.
Right.
So I don't know how you work that one out.
Well, and see, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I get the game mechanic part of it, but it's just like, okay, you're...
Oh, I think it makes sense.
Why would you transform into a...
Because it's a malfunction.
Yeah.
Because I'll keep this very quick for your sake. But the history of it was, on Cybertron, he transformed into what looked like a monitoring device that was along a roadside.
Yeah.
Which made a lot of sense. They were that size because they were meant to be around other things of that size. When they crashed on Earth, they were all basically destroyed beyond recognition, and the Ark was rebuilding them, but didn't know how, because it had its own brain scrambled, So it looked around Earth and was trying to just find things that it could probably work them into. And so in the process, I mean, what does it really get about human life? It made Soundwave look like a Walkman the size of an RV because it saw Walkman, and Soundwave carries little things, and I can probably turn these into cassette tapes. And there we go. Must make sense. Must blend in perfectly because its own brains were damaged. So not all of its choices would be sensible.
True.
Yeah. So anyways, I think the closing message here is that if you are going to make a request that specific of a game master, that you are looking for a game that is really, really tailor-made to something you've been fiending to do, I think you've got to be prepared to do a couple things. One is to accept some limitations or constraints so the game is not just your wank. Secondly, you're going to have to be prepared to give some ground to the GM so they can run the game. And third, you need to be prepared to get very, very active with the other players so they know that they are just as important and just as spotlit, I don't know how you conjugate that, as you are in terms of this game playing out. And in some things, that's easier. In some things, that's harder. I will throw out one last thing, and I kind of mentioned this with the Injustice thing, but I could throw us out with Star Wars as well. I think it is fair to accept that sometimes a player's lack of significance is self-inflicted. What I mean is, let's say, for example, someone said, I want to play a Star Wars game where we were all Force users of whatever stripe. And when it gets to me, and everyone's on board with this, but when it gets to me, I say, you know what? I'm really not interested in Force users because I'm not. As me, Dan, I'm not.
Space wizards.
Yeah. I say, I want to bang Darth Talon. And beyond that, I have no real interest in Force users. But I'm accepting, especially if we're not using D20 Revised, where the classes were really balanced. A guy with a gun could be equal to a Jedi. If we were playing this using the mummy hieroglyphic system from, well, I know Fantasy Flight doesn't make it anymore, some such. But they weren't balanced because they weren't meant to be balanced.
Right.
And so if I'm playing someone who's a bounty hunter, I mean, it's not that I couldn't have played a Jedi. It's not that I didn't know it. The other three people were playing Jedi. I did that to me.
Yeah.
And I got to own that. Now, that doesn't mean the game master can't still give me spotlight and pay attention to my story. But
he doesn't owe you anything because you made a choice.
Right. And I can't whine because I'm not as powerful as everybody else.
And if you're coming into the game to be powerful, if it's that kind of game, which is fine, then you really f***ed up.
Yeah. I did that to me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I think the last thing I have is, if you're a game master and someone brings an idea to you like this, go through the exercise of asking the questions. Because if Dan were to come to me with the Unicron thing, my first thought is to immediately...
No. No. And the answer is no.
But as we talk through it, I've got a game idea out of that now.
Yeah. Well,
Unicron, where Unicron is stuck in another dimension, can't get all the way through, here's his avatar, that's workable to me. And it all goes down to, why does the person want that? What he's not asking for, what he doesn't want out of it, is the big powerful Unicron. He wants the psychological aspect. That's something I can work with.
Yeah.
Well, you if I just knee-jerk reacted and said no, I would have never got to what he really wanted. And if this game never happened, never worked out, I know that's something he wants to explore. So the next game I run may not be Transformers game. Yeah. Let's say it's just a modern game.
But also,
I can now give him options for a character that is exploring those same types of things.
Yeah, well, and I think also that creates the possibility of story arcs or chapters, because, you know, if everyone else is playing Autobots, Decepticons, Independent Mercenaries, doesn't matter what, and it's like, okay, I'm going to help you out, and your guys' mission is the first story arc, but my payment is you're going to help me get my body back. And that, whether it succeeds or fails, that attempt is the second story arc.
Well,
and then from there, we go into third arcs and fourth arcs.
I will say with that, you know, it's like the game master Wayne lays out the mission of, hey, guys are going to do this for a whole bunch of Energon, whatever. And you are tasked with pulling some people together because you've got connections because you're Unicron and that sort of thing. And you pull them together, and you don't tell Wayne you're going to do this. You look at him across the space bar table, and you say, okay, guys, we're doing this. You're getting paid, but my cut is you got to help me get my body back. As a game master, if I'm not on board with that, I'm like, whoa, wait,
No.
No, I think this would be pregame discussion. Yeah. If I'm trying to immediately overwrite the conditions of, because this was one of the conditions, is you have to be imprisoned by an alien species.
One of his things that he pitched was, okay, we're just taking the Unicron body off the table.
Yeah.
It's just not going to be a thing in the game.
Exactly. So I think this would have to be agreed upon in the game setup, but...
I think that if we're going around the table giving advice, the advice that I would give here is both for the player and the game master. For the game master, it's a two-sided thing. Don't say no. If anybody came to me and said Unicron in a Transformers game, I mean, I'm going to say no, but hear the pitch. Obviously, they're excited about it, and you probably won't be surprised, but you might be surprised. Yeah. And like Wayne said, it's like, hey, I got an idea for a game out of it. And but maybe
don't be afraid to say no after
that,
you hear
that. And that's the thing, is that you have to be able to say no.
Yeah.
And this goes into advice for the player now. When you're making an ask like this, if it's on a scale of Unicron to Green Squadron, if you're asking for Unicron level ask here,
Unicron could be part of Green Squadron.
Right.
A bunch of Y-Wings, X-Wings appear, and then Unicron, and Unicron eats the Death Star.
Oh, my God. Unicron's a rebel. He has a big rebel symbol painted on him. Yeah. Like, size of planet.
He doesn't care. I mean, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
He'll fly.
The Death Star is Unicron in disguise.
But, so...
No, because it was the size of a moon.
If you...
Unicron, it'd be a small munchie.
If you make the Unicron level ask... And the game master is like, okay, I'm probably going to say no, but let me hear your pitch. You have to be willing to put a lot on the table. If the game master says yes, they're going to start asking you, well, I want you to do this. I need you to do this. If you're doing that Unicron level ask, you don't really have a right to say no.
Yeah, you got to be prepared to give a Unicron level give.
Exactly. Now, if we're talking about Green Squadron and you say, hey, I got this green. No, you're Green Squadron. You're obsessed, man. You know, maybe the GM's being a little bit of a dick. But when you do your pitch, you don't really have to give up everything. You don't have to sell the farm here.
Yeah.
You know, it's more of a, hey, let's work this out. But understand the game master might still have a couple asks. Like, hey, you're the subject matter expert here. You are helping these guys make their characters, not mechanically. You're helping them with NPCs and backgrounds and plot hooks for me. And that's my ask for you. And that's a reasonable ask.
Yeah.
And also, I would say, and I just have to put this out there, if the game master puts so many restrictions on your character, no matter what level it is, to the point you don't think you will have fun, just like the game master, you have a right to say no.
Yeah.
And the game just doesn't happen, and that's okay.
Right.
The closest
I ever got to this in terms of I was playing a character that was not quite in balance with everyone else. But I happened to play with a group of players who had a lot of trust for me, and it actually worked. And several people in review said it was one of the best characters I ever played. It was a Transformers game. I didn't play Unicron, but I did play, depending on your preferred vernacular, merger/combiner. And I played all five parts of it. It was one I invented on my own, and I played all five parts of it. And all the five constituent Transformers none of the rest of the party could merge to form Devastator. I could. All right. No, it was not Devastator, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And being a Transformers nut, I know you, of course, knew it wasn't Devastator. It's Devastator. It's six parts. Oh, five.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So, but.
I mean, I'm obsessed with Dump Truck Bot.
Yes, exactly. Which is one of his legs. But, no, I'm sorry. It was his.
His leg torso. Is a cement mixer.
It was his belly. Yeah.
And I believe his other leg is a.
Yeah, it was his lower torso, thing. His yeah. belly.
I want to call it a bulldozer, but I don't know if that's what it's called.
Yeah, the thing with the bucket that's wide and.
Yeah, but anyways, but the point being, though, that I had these characters have such a diversity of personality, and there was so much dysfunction and infighting between them. Mm-hmm. And I used the merge form so rarely.
Right.
Because I kept to the characters of if they weren't getting along, they weren't going to merge. And it didn't matter whether that was the best move or not.
Dinobots, right? Like, couldn't they merge? But they never did because they're always fighting?
Not in G1.
Oh, okay.
Other versions, they've made them combiners, and I always thought that was too much. Because
I thought that was really big, giant stupid. Yeah. Well, and that's what they were designed to be, was a counter to... Anyways, I'm not getting into it. But I thought the Dinobot merger was stupid. But anywho, all right, so I think we're going to wrap this one up. Say check the show notes. I don't think there's anything in there unless you just really want to see
There's Wayne's book series that we've never heard of.
Yeah, I'm not going to like that. Wow. But, you know, if you just want to see the timestamps for when we talked about the things you just heard, then check the show notes. Otherwise, have a great week and great games, and we will catch you next time.
Yeah.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2020. Listeners are free to use this episode in a non-commercial endeavor, so long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. If you wish to support this show and its related endeavors, you can do so at patreon.com/feartheboot.